please meet with us tonight. I just want to give a real quick challenge. I don't want to take very long tonight. I pray that you just help everybody to listen, to be attentive, and that maybe we would be challenged by your word. Lord, please help me as I preach this, Lord. And I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we read there that real quick story. And what's going on, just so you understand, in the context there, Paul has went back to Jerusalem. And he was pretty much attacked by the Jews in Jerusalem. They have heard him preaching the gospel. They've heard him preach that salvation is by works, that you don't have to keep the Mosaic law to be saved, that you don't have to do anything to be saved, and that even the Gentiles could be saved. And these Jews are mad at him, they're upset at him, and they come and they completely attack him. And he's actually rescued by the Roman Empire. The soldiers there, the centurions, rescue him out of the midst of this group, and they take him to this tower. He's pretty much locked up. And Paul asks if he could speak to the crowd. He wants to make his appeal, and he begins to talk to them. And if you would have, you know, read there earlier in the chapter, you would have seen that he begins to speak to them, and he even talks to them in the Hebrew tongue, which kind of quiets them down. And he begins to explain to them what he's doing and why he believes the things he believes. And notice, it's kind of like we preached on Wednesday night. He talks for a long time and gives a very long sermon, and nobody seems to be upset. But if you look at verse 20, he says, "And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." So he's talking about all these things that he did before he was saved. And everybody is okay. Everybody is happy. Nobody's upset. I know this sounds like the Wednesday night sermon we just preached when Stephen was preaching, and he preached for 58 verses, and nobody was mad. The last three verses, they got upset and they killed him. And the same thing is happening here with Paul. He's talking to them, and nobody's mad. But look at verse 21. And as he's preaching, actually what happens is he begins to preach about Jesus, and they begin to get upset. And it says in verse 21, "He said unto me, Depart, and I will send thee far unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word." So notice, he's talking about God sending him to the Gentiles. He said, "God sent me to preach the gospel to the Gentiles." And if you look at verse 22, because verse 21 he says, "And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." And the moment that Paul tells the Jews, "God told me to go preach to the Gentiles so that the Gentiles could be saved," in verse 22 the Bible says, "They gave him audience unto this word." So they were listening till he said that. And as soon as he said that, and the Bible says, "And then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." As soon as, you know, and you think, Paul, why did you have to add that? Why don't you just preach the whole sermon and then just finish? Why do you have to add that one little part to upset them? But notice, Paul was preaching the entire counsel of God. He was preaching in season and out of season. And he made that statement, they get upset at him. And the Bible says in verse 23, "And they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air." So these people are mad. They're taking their clothes off. They're taking dust, throwing it in there. They're saying, "Away with him. He shouldn't live. He should die." Look at verse 24. "And the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging." So the chief captain says, "Well, let's examine him. And here's how we're going to do it. Let's scourge him." Let's talk about taking a whip and whipping him and beating him, "that he might know wherefore they cried so against him." He's like, why are these people so mad at him? Let's see what he did. Let's just beat him till he tells us what he did. Why are they mad? Look at verse 25. You got to understand, the captain is a Roman, and he's trying to figure out why the Jews are so mad. Verse 25. "And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by." So Paul is speaking to the centurion. He says, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" Now here's what you got to understand. They're in New Testament Israel, which is owned by the Roman Empire. Alright? These Israelites and these Jews are, you know, subjects and servants to Rome. But Paul was different. Paul was half Jew, half Gentile. Paul was a Roman, a citizen of Rome. Now in this time, if you were a citizen of Rome, you were given more rights than everyone else. As a citizen of Rome, you were allowed to travel the countries and the world, and you were allowed to do certain things that other people from other nations weren't allowed to do. They were subject to Rome, but they had to stay in their home country. But Paul was given certain liberties because his dad was a Roman, and he was a Roman citizen. And this is one of the reasons why God chose him to go to the Gentiles, because he had the ability to travel, you know, on certain Roman ships, and that's why he was able to be a missionary in the way he was. But when they scourged him, because they think that he's a Jew, which he was, but he's also half Roman, and he's a Roman citizen, he says to the chief captain, he said, let's read verse 25 again. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Because see, you couldn't scourge, you couldn't beat a Roman citizen unless they've been condemned, unless they've been, you know, convicted of a crime. Now, you could take a Jew and beat him. It didn't matter if they were convicted. That's what they did to Jesus. They beat him and they killed him, and he didn't do anything wrong. But he wasn't a Roman. Paul was a Roman citizen. He had certain rights. Look at verse 26. And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. So notice he said to him, hey, be careful, this guy's a Roman citizen. Look at verse 27. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? And he said, yea. Now notice what the chief captain says, because the chief captain is a Gentile. He's not a Jew. But he's obviously not a Roman. I think I said at the beginning that he's a Roman. But I meant to say he's a Gentile, but he's not a Roman. Because notice what he said. Verse 28. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. So the chief captain says to Paul, he says, look, I'm not a Roman, but I'm a free man in this Roman Empire. And he said, I became a free man because I worked very hard, I saved my money, and I purchased my own freedom. I bought myself out of slavery, and now I am, you know, naturalized citizen of Rome. I wasn't born in the Roman citizen, I was paid into it. Does that make sense? He bought his freedom from the Roman Empire, but the problem with that is that if he did something illegal, that citizenship could be taken away from him. And he's saying, and the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. But notice what Paul says. Bible says, and Paul said, but I was freeborn. And you know, there's a spiritual application to this story. Go with me to John chapter number 3. You're there in Acts. John chapter number 3. And look at verse number 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter number 3. And look at verse number 3, very famous statements made by Jesus Christ. John chapter number 3 and verse 3, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And the Bible says in verse 3 of John chapter number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Drop down to verse number 7 in the same chapter. Jesus says to Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Notice that Jesus says to him, you must be born again. He says, if you're going to be saved, you got to get born again. The Bible says the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, when He comes to indwell inside of you, you are given birth. You are adopted into the family of God. If you're there in John 3, go back to John chapter number 1, look at verse number 12. John chapter number 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received Him, talking about Jesus, it says, as many as received Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Look at verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but of the will of, nor of the will of man, but of God. So you see there that the Bible, you know, people have this idea, we're all the children of God. That's not true. God created all of us, but only those who receive Jesus, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. And when you receive Jesus, God gives you the power to become a child of God, the son of God, or the daughter of God. And you get born again into the family of God. You become a child of God through Jesus Christ indwelling in you. That's why we say, you know, Brother Daryl, Brother Jimenez, Sister So-and-so. You say, well, why do people say that in churches? They're not related. Well, the thing is, we're not physically related, but we're spiritually related. We got the same spiritual Heavenly Father, and therefore, if I've got a Heavenly Father, and you have a Heavenly Father, then that makes us spiritually siblings. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 23. Towards the end of your New Testament. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 23. 1 Peter 1:23. Notice how consistent the Bible is. In John, it says that you receive Jesus. And you're given the power to become the sons of God. In 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Notice what he says. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:23 that you get born again by the word of God. Well, he said, well, John said you get born again by receiving Jesus. Well, Jesus is the word of God. It's like the Battle Hymn of Republic says, I've seen him in the watchfires of a hundred circling camp. Why? Because Jesus is the word of God. So we get born again when we receive his word, when we receive that seed. We get born again. Now here's the contrast. Go back with me to Acts chapter number 22. Acts 22. Look at verse number 28 again. Acts 22:28. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. And really that's the fight today. Today you talk to the average quote-unquote Christian and you would ask him, are you on Paul's side of birth or are you on the centurion side? And most people would say, if they would claim to be born again, they would probably, yeah, maybe they wouldn't make the statement out loud, but by the way they believe, they would say, you know what, with a great sum I obtained this freedom. Because most people believe that when they get born again, they somehow earned that. They somehow worked for that. Yes, they somehow got that. They believe that they earned it through some way they lived their life or some sort of a payment that they did or something that they did in their life. But see, Paul was contrasting here to the centurion because the centurion said, he said, with a great sum of money, I purchased this freedom. But Paul said, you know what? I was born free. I was given liberty at birth. He said, when I got, and it's the same thing in the spiritual sense. The Catholic will say, well, I obtained this sum of freedom with a lot of money, with a lot of prayers, with a lot of confessions, with a lot of baptisms, with a lot of repenting of sins, with a lot of speaking in tongues, with a lot of whatever. But a true Christian would say, you know what? I was born again in freedom. I was born again in liberty. I didn't earn it. I didn't get it. I was born free. That's what the Bible says. Go with me to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. In Romans chapter number 4, the Bible says, look at verse 1. Paul is speaking here. And he's talking about, I've got two waters here. I'm going back and forth from them. One's cold and one's warm. And it's kind of weird. Romans 4, look at what Paul says. He says, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, hath found. Now, Paul is giving an example of Abraham in the Old Testament. You should be familiar with Abraham since we've been going through the book of Genesis. And he's saying, you know, what did Abraham, pertaining to the flesh, find? He's giving this rhetorical question to make a point. Look at verse 2. He says, for if. Now, he's saying if because he's not saying this is a true statement. He's saying, if Abraham were justified by works. If Abraham was justified by the things that he did. Notice what he says. He hath whereof to glory. But then he says, but not before God. Because no one can glory before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. So he says, well, what does the Bible say? Abraham believed God, and it, that's his belief, his faith, it was counted unto him for righteousness. So what was counted unto Abraham for righteousness? His belief. Notice verse 4, he says, thou to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. He said, what does that verse mean? Well, here's what he's saying. He's saying, you can try to work your way to heaven. You can try to earn your way to heaven, but you're always going to find yourself in debt. you're always going to find yourself owing. Because you will never do enough good works to balance out your bad works. You will never do enough good deeds to balance out. You say, well, why not? Well, it took the Son of God to pay for your sins. You think that your going to church is the same price as the blood of Jesus Christ? It's not. So if you try to earn salvation, you'll always find yourself in debt. Look at verse 5. But to him that worketh not. Notice, he doesn't say to him that works a little bit. He doesn't say to him that does some works. He doesn't say to him that did something. He says to him that worketh not. That means he did nothing. But believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's why a Christian can say, hey, I was born free. I was born not of debt, not of work. I didn't earn it. I didn't do it. Jesus did it. I just got it for free because I didn't do any works. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, go back to verse number 2, and I want you to compare this verse. It says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. So notice what he says. He says, if Abraham was justified by works, he would have something to glory about. He would have something to show off about. Keep your finger there in Romans 4 and go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. And look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 8. And compare these two verses. Ephesians chapter number 2. And look at verse number 8. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That word grace there means for you to receive something you did not earn. The word grace, you know, I often use this as an example. We talk about like a grace period. Like the mortgage is due on the 1st, but they give us till the 5th to pay. They don't have to give me that time. They just choose. That's their grace. They give me something I didn't earn, something I don't deserve. God says, for by grace. He says, by the fact that I'm going to give you something you did not work for, are ye saved through faith. That's belief. Notice he says, and that not of yourselves. He says, that has nothing to do with you. It is the gift of God. And he says, not of works. So notice, it says, not of works. But here's the point I want to see in verse 9. He says, lest any man should boast. So he says, you cannot earn your way to heaven lest any man should boast. He says, that word boast means to brag. And he says, if you could earn your own salvation, you could brag about it. If you could be good enough to go to heaven, you could. And that's what the centurion is doing. He's telling Paul, hey, you know what? I'm a free man, and I obtained my freedom with a great sum of money. You know what he's doing? He's bragging. He's boasting. But Paul just says, I was born free. You know, people, you knock on people's door and you ask them, do you know for sure if that's it, you go to heaven? They say, I think I go to heaven. You ask them, well, what gives you that assurance? And they'll say, well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a deacon. And I give my tithe and my offerings. And I go to so-and-so church. And I do this and I do that. And I got baptized and I confess and I repent. And you know what they're doing when they give you that line? They're bragging. They're boasting. They're glorying. They're telling you why they earned, why they paid, why they got their salvation. But God said, not of works, lest any man should boast. And in Romans 4, he says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. He says, if Abraham could justify himself by works, he would have something to show off about. But then he says, but not before God. Because none of us can glory before God. We were born free. We were given our liberty and freedom. You're there, or we were there in Romans 4. Just go to Romans chapter number 5, just real quickly. Look at Romans 6. Look at what he says. You say, I was born free. I didn't have to earn my salvation. Amen. Look what he says in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, God forbid. So look, we ought not continue in sin that grace may abound. But the idea there is that if we continue in sin, grace will abound. Do you see that? He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So he's saying, hey, grace will abound if you continue in sin. But then he answers the question, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Go to verse 20 of the previous chapter, chapter number 5. Look at verse 20. He says in verse 20 of Romans 5, he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Notice what he says. Moreover, the law entered. He's talking about like a play. He says, when the law, the character of the law entered, that the offense might abound, because without the law we would have never offended. it. The law is our schoolmaster to teach us that we need a Savior, that we've broken the law, that we've transgressed the law. And he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So when the law of God became apparent to us, and we saw that we had broken His law, the offense abounded. But notice the last part of the verse. He says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Say, I'm too big of a sinner to get saved. Hey, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Go back with me to Acts chapter number 22. And look at verse 28 again. We see there a spiritual application. He says, and the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained thy this freedom. Those are all the people trying to earn their salvation. But he says, Paul said, but I was freeborn. You know, there's that spiritual application there that salvation is free. You get born again by freedom, by being free. But there's also a physical application there. That Paul was born into a country that gave him liberties. And those liberties weren't available to everybody else. That man had to earn his freedom, but Paul simply had those freedoms just by being born. You know, in the United States of America, so often we are given liberties by being citizens. But you know, not everybody's given those rights. Not everybody's given, you know, you can talk to my parents. My family, we were all born in Venezuela, and we moved to the United States when I was 4 years old, and we had to go through the process of becoming American citizens. Today, we're all citizens of the United States of America, but we weren't born here. And they had to pay lawyers, they were ripped off by lawyers, and we had to go through a process of becoming, I can't think of all the terminology now, but first we became starts with an R. We became a certain thing. We had to be that for 7 years, and then we had to pay all these things. I didn't pay it. They paid it. You know, my parents paid it. You know, and they would probably say like the centurion, you know, talking about our American rights. Hey, we paid for these citizenship and these rights. It cost us a lot of money. Cost them a lot of money. Cost us a lot of grief. Cost us a lot of paperwork. A lot of things we had to do to obtain that freedom. But you know what the sad part is? That so many Americans are born in the United States of America today, and they're born free. They're born with the liberty to read this Bible, to come to church, to pray, to go soul winning, to knock on doors, to do all the things that this country has given us the liberty to do. And so often we forfeit those freedoms. And like Esau, we despise your birthright. The chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was free born. And the truth is that, you know what? It's not about being an American citizen or a non-American. You know, I think sometimes in America we get this idea that if people aren't American citizens, they're somehow beneath us. You know, the Bible says that in countries, God said to the Israelites that they should not have separate laws for the stranger and for the people born in the land. In the nation of Israel, they had one set of law, and it applied to the foreigner and to the people that were born there. And we know that, you know, I'm against these, you know, states that want to have these separate laws for the illegal immigrants. That's anti-God. God said that everyone should be treated equally. And guess what? Our founding father said the same thing. Thomas Jefferson said, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Thomas Jefferson said that God gave us. We are born free, and that was given to us by God, not by a government, not by a White House, not by, you know, a president, not by a constitution, but by Almighty God. Every single human being was born free. But not every human being is free. Go to the Middle East tonight. Go to South America tonight. Even, I said this morning, go to the westernized parts of Europe and you will not find a country. And other than, like I said this morning, other than Old Testament Israel under Almighty God as their king, you will never find a country in the history of the world where people have been given the liberties that we were given in this country. And I just got to ask you one question. What are you doing with it? What are we doing with it? We have the freedom to go out and win souls. Would to God we do it. We have the freedom to come to church. Would to God we do. We have the freedom to read the Bible and pray and memorize the scripture. And would to God we do it. Look at verse 28 again. We'll be done. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum of thy this freedom. And Paul said, but I was freeborn. You know, just because we were given liberties and given freedoms and we were born free, doesn't mean it didn't cost us anything. Like we said there in that song, "Oh Beautiful for Spacious Skies." Oh beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. People died to give us our freedoms. Now they're free to us, but they weren't free. Battle Hymn Republic says, in the beauties of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me, as he died to make men holy. You say, I was born free. I was born and I didn't have to earn it. Yeah, but it cost Jesus Christ something. And he says, as he died to make men holy, I love this part, let us die to make men free. Now, they're talking about the Civil War. They're talking about going to war and dying. He said, as Jesus Christ died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. But in the spiritual sense, wouldn't we go out and die to bring spiritual liberty to those who are unsaved and still under the law, as the Bible says? They're under the condemnation of the law and they're in bondage of sin. Wouldn't we die to make them free? Paul understood that. He said, but I was freeborn. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your word. Lord, I